for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the 2006 Passover Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Service being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, April the 15th, 2006. Dr. William Knoll is the speaker of this service, teaching on the roots of rejection.
Should this for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
Reproduction of this in part or its entirety for resale is expressly prohibited.
We're going to talk today about the roots of rejection. You know, if you have somebody who's an alcoholic, or you have somebody who's, like Derek Prince used to say that, if you had a lady who was, the husband wasn't treating her fairly, he was rejecting her, and putting all kind of pressure on her, and not treating her fairly. If she was an Episcopalian lady, she would turn to the martini, and that she would soothe her anger and her disappointment and her sorrow and her frustration by consuming a martini or two. And she would become a whiskey bottle addict and become an alcoholic. But if she was an Assembly of God lady to whom alcohol is denied, she would turn to the cookie jar and the pastry, and she would become a foodaholic. And he says we have far more cookie jar addicts than we have whiskey bottle addicts. But if you pray deliverance for them, and all you do is cast out the spirit of bondage, of alcoholism, or the spirit of gluttony, and you go no further, all you've done is chopped off a little branch or some fruit on it. Or maybe you go back and get the limb rebellion and you chop that off. You've still got the root down there. And it's like Bermuda grass. It'll come back. I say that taking demons out is like a weed in your garden. You look out there and you see all those weeds. And you can't just take the lawnmower and run over them because they'll come right back. You've got to get out on your hands and knees, and you've got to pull them out by the roots one at a time, one weed at a time. And then you've got to take care of that soul so that weed doesn't come back. Today we're going to talk about the roots of rejection, how rejection comes in, and then how you respond to rejection depends, the fruit that manifests from the rejection depends on how you respond to it. And that is determined a great deal by your family, the way you were raised, and these familiar spirits that are around you. And these are all tied into the roots. And so we're going to talk today about the roots of rejection. Now, y'all know what a familiar spirit is? Somebody tell me what a familiar spirit is. One on your family line. That's scriptural, Bruce. Okay. What does this spirit on your family line do? I mean, how do you define it? I looked in the Old Testament, familiar spirit is always used in relation to the term familiar spirit. It's always used in relation to someone who has a witch or a fortune teller or a seance. Always used in reference to the occult. And it says that those people are to be stoned and can run out of the land. It does not appear in the New Testament. And that always perplexed me. I knew that people who told fortunes and divined for water and all this had familiar spirits. But that's about as far as my understanding went. And so I got curious because I have an inquisitive mind, and I'm very methodical, and I need to understand how things work. And so I begin to fast and pray and ask God to show me how a familiar spirit, what, tell me about a familiar spirit, Lord, is basically what I said. I don't understand it. And after the seventh day of the fast, I was getting ready to go to bed, and a voice spoke to me out of the darkness in my bedroom, an audible voice. And it said, a familiar spirit is. And that's as far as I let it get. And I said, you acknowledge that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come in the flesh or be gone out of him. You see, 1 John chapter 4, verse 2 says, every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come in the flesh is of the Antichrist. That is the one thing a demon can't say. God won't let him say that. Now, why? Because he said so, and he's boss. And that is the one thing that you can say to a demon that they will not repeat back. Oh, they'll give you a long confession and tell you Jesus Christ, the Son of God, of Nazareth, was born of a virgin, led a perfect life, crucified on the cross for your sins, shed his blood, died, was raised from the dead, and sent to heaven. They make all those confessions. The one thing they will not say, he was manifested in the flesh. They won't say that. It's this demon, this spirit that was speaking to me, it wasn't a demon, said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God. He was manifested in the flesh, and he is my Lord. I said, speak. He said, a familiar spirit is a spirit that you are familiar with, through which you can manifest supernatural power. A familiar spirit is a spirit that is familiar with you and has been assigned to your family line. I asked for scripture and verse. I said, why is it not referred to in the New Testament? He said, every spirit-filled Christian has a familiar spirit through which they can manifest supernatural power, and that is that they are familiar with, and that spirit is the Holy Spirit. Every one of you, if you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you should be familiar with the Holy Spirit. And through Him, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says each one of you has got one, you should be able to manifest supernatural power. If you're not, you need to be fasting and praying and say, God, help me to know the hope of my calling, because the gifts that are necessary to bring that calling to pass will manifest in my life. In the Old Testament, everybody on whom the Holy Spirit was only poured out on certain people called prophets. Anybody else that manifested supernatural power was said they had a familiar spirit and they stoned them. That's a familiar spirit. Now, familiar spirits are assigned to your family line and they're familiar with you. I don't want to get into a full teaching on it. It'll take me an hour. But there's scriptures for it and it's all in the objection book back then in the appendix, because I referred to familiar spirits all the time, so I wrote a dissertation of 4 or 5 pages on it, so that we're, along with the scriptures and the definitions and the references, if you want to look it up, it's all documented about familiar spirits. But they are assigned to your family line, and there are series of them. Now, we're going to look today at the roots of rejection. Now, rejection, roots of rejection typically come first from your family and then from society around you. And we're just going to try to cover the family today. And him, we have an overhead. I apologize. I know from the back of the room it just looked like a bunch of... But the first thing we're going to look at is the curses. That says family and that says curses. Now these say generational curses on the family line. And it lists all of them down here. Generational curses that come down the family line from the sins of the ancestors. Now, where in the Bible does it say that generational curses come down the family line? It says it in so many places. We'll just look at one. And it's in Exodus 34 in the character of God. In Exodus 34, God proclaims his name. And in Hebrew, the name indicates the character. And so in Exodus 34, verse 5, the Lord descended in a cloud and stood there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Let's go back to 34. So he cut two tablets of stone like the first one, and Moses rose early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai, and the Lord commanded him. He took with him in his hand the two tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in a cloud and stood there before him and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Okay. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. Starting at the first, the Lord God is merciful and gracious. Merciful and gracious are two words that are used together. I think it's 13 times in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, and 11 times it's always in reference to God together in God's character. Independently, they're used twice in reference to God's character. Always in reference to God. And merciful comes from a Hebrew word to which means to stroke in love. Gracious means for a greater body to reach down and show favor and pick up and hold a lesser body. And I said, Lord, I read these in the concordance and in the theological textual word book of the Old Testament and in the various lectionaries. And God, I said, God, give me some understanding. And he gave me a picture once when I had punished one of my, disciplined one of my children. He was about 3 years old, and he grabbed my leg, and he was crying. And I reached down, and I picked him up, and I held him and caressed him and loved him and said, I love you. But you have to understand that rebellion has painful consequences, and you must learn to mind. And I cried with him, and I held him. But I said, you will be disciplined when you rebel. And that's God's character. He loves you. And he will caress you in love, but he'll still discipline you. And he says you're a bastard if he doesn't discipline you. So that's the first one. Long-suffering literally means a slow to dilate the nostril. You know, when you get mad, you take a deep breath, then your nostrils dilate. And God's slow to do that. That's long-suffering. Abounding goodness, you know what it means to be good. The same word is used later on in giving mercy. Be good to folks, you know, kind, good, merciful. And, you know, you find yourself defining goodness in terms of itself and truth, grace and truth. So you're keeping mercy or goodness for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Now, sin, that word comes from an archery word, which means to miss the mark. You shoot an arrow at a target and miss the mark. I think it's same. I'm not sure of the Hebrew word now. But it means to miss the mark. You can sin and not know it. You can miss the mark and not know it. Transgression means that you know, but you did it anyway. You slipped and did it, or you just messed up and you broke it and you broke the law. You're a transgressor. Iniquity means you know it's wrong. You don't care. You're going to do it anyway. And you spit in God's eye and say, I'm going to do it because I want to. That's iniquity. That's rebellion. That's an interesting word. Avon, A-V-O-N, like the Avon lady. Avon means, number one, it means the rejection. I mean the rebellion. And it means the consequences. The evil consequences of the rebellion. What happens because of the rebellion and the punishment that ensues. It means all three of those things. And in some places it says the Avon of the Avon. The Avon for the Avon. The punishment for the rebellion. In several places. In some places it says the consequences for the rebellion. What happened? And so Yvonne's an interesting word. And so he says he forgives iniquity and transgression and sin. By no means clearing the guilty. That means if you've got a New American Standard, it says, no, by no means leaving the guilty unpunished. And so he says you that other part of the word there, he'll forgive your sin. Like, if you transgress the law and you go before the judge down here, he may extract a penalty from you. He may just reprimand you, he may extract a penalty from you. He may require you to go sit in a jail cell 4 or 5 days or think about it, or pay a little money. Because of your iniquity, because of your rebellion. And so he visits the iniquity, the punishment, upon the fathers, upon the children's children, to the third and the fourth generation. Now, there were some instances in the Bible where we see this thing happen. It happened with Abraham when he lied about Sarah being his wife. And it had serious consequences. He had a lot of problems. It was 13 years before he got the promised son. He had trouble with some people stopping up his wells and arguing with him. Finally got his son. He did it twice, once down in Egypt and once with Abimelech. And then his son, famine came. God told Isaac to stay in the land, not to go down to Egypt. So he went up to Abimelech and he went up there and he said, you're a good-looking woman, Rebecca. He said, these folks might kill me to get you. He said, you tell them you're my sister, not my wife. Same sin. He suffered his 20 years. He had prayed 20 years before his wife got pregnant. And he had all kind of trouble with contention for his wells, for the water rights. See, those same sins came down the line. The lying sin came down. Those contentious demons that were causing trouble and came down into his generation. See, those familiar spirits were assigned and they came down the family line. And then his son. He had two boys. One of them was rebellious. He was a wild man. The old King James used to say a wild ass of a man. Now don't laugh. Now that's a good term. The term used was for an untamable strain of donkey that ran in the woods. And the donkey were called asses. And so he was a wild donkey of a man. But he was an untrainable donkey. He couldn't be trained, according to concordance. And so here one man was just in rebellion and just doing what he wanted to. And the other son was deceitful and lying. He stole his brother's birthright by deceit, stole his brother's blessing, and had to leave. But apparently it had run in the family because his uncle was deceitful and cheated him. And so you see how these familiar spirits run down through the family line. They cause these sins to be repeated, and they cause these punishment to come. All kind of problems come, and frustrations, and then what happened to Jacob? Is this your favorite son's coat? Look at this coat here. Is this his, the one that has got all this blood and torn? Well, it looks like some wild beast got him. We sold him into slavery. And even at the end, when their father died, and Joseph had told them that it was God had sent them down there, and that he held no gun. What'd they do? They wrote a letter and forged your father's name and sent it to him, saying, please don't punish him for sending you into slavery. That's recorded in the last chapter. I think it's the last chapter of Genesis, after the father died. They wrote a letter to him and forged, signed dad's name to it and said, oh, please don't punish these boys for what they did to you. And lying went down the family line. And they suffered for it. And that's the sins of the fathers. Now, what kind of curses could come down? Well, we just got all kind of curses here. Praise you, Lord God. Let's look first at the curse of abandonment, of being abandoned. When a child is adopted, he's been abandoned by his parents. He's been given up. He's rejected. He's an unwanted child. A baby that has been given up for adoption has been abandoned by his natural parents. He has been rejected. I do not want him. Now, this may be done for perfectly good, legitimate reasons. Nevertheless, the fact is, he is rejected. He is abandoned. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There are spirits in this world that want that kid. They want a body more than anything to possess. And here's one that nobody wants, that the natural people who have a claim to that child and have a spiritual right to that child, a spiritual claim, have rejected it and cast him out. He may be given up for adoption through a legal agency. He may be thrown in the dumpster. He may be left at the emergency room or at the police station or the fire station. You know, there are safe places where if you don't want your baby, you don't have to go flush him down the toilet. You can wrap him up and take him down to the fireman, and they'll take care of him. No questions asked, at least in Kansas. I mean, you can take him to the fire station, to the police station, to the emergency room, just walk in and hand him, said, "This is my baby. I don't want him. You take him." And walk out, no questions asked, and they'll put him up for adoption. And you've suffered all parental right to him. But whenever that happens, there's a war in heaven. All the perverse spirits, all the deaf and dumb spirits, which are the most powerful spirits, gather. And they want that baby. Because they want a body to express themselves. Now, it says in Scripture that a spirit leaves a person and walks through dry places and finds no rest. Matthew chapter 12, Luke chapter 11. Finding no rest. And he says, "I will return to my house." And that word house, that means household. It's not a physical abode or structure. It primarily means a household, like the house of Israel, the house of David. There's another word that means a structure or a house where that you live in. Both of them can be used interchangeably, but the chief use is as I described it, according to the concordances and the lectionaries. And says, I'm going back to my family line and find some place to get some rest. Well, those demons that don't have a body to possess or to inhabit, they will fight. And the strongest perverse spirit will win and possess that baby. In the nursery, in the womb. It can happen with the curse of abortion coming down your family line. I can give you a number of testimonies. It can happen with the curse of abortion, the curse of adoption. It travels down the family line, and those spirits can come in. But when you have an adoption and you have that baby that's unwanted, I mean a powerful spirit will come in. Normally, when you start praying for them, you don't get him out on the first trip. And I tell you, he feels that he owns that body. That spirit feels that he has a coveted relationship with that body and that he owns it. And you have to inform him that the blood of Jesus Christ, that the covenant from the blood of Jesus Christ has broken his covenant and he has no legal rights. He doesn't own that body anymore. Jesus bought and paid for it with his blood. And his covenant overrides the devil's edict. And they will fight a bitter fight, but they will come out. That's adoption. Mary Garrison pointed it out to me when 20 years ago. Mary and I talked about it, and she gave me a revelation. That's where, and she wrote the book, "By Their Fruits You Shall Know Them." Excellent book, and I would recommend it to you. If you want a delightful story, read the story of the Holy Ghost and Mrs. Garrison. I laughed. I think I laughed because I knew the situation and I knew the people involved. And it turned out she went to high school, went to junior high with my wife. And it was it's interesting. Praise God. All right, let's see him. Wrong sheets of paper that I had my notes on. The parent has spiritual authority for their children. Ephesians 6, 1-3, Colossians 3-20. Spirits don't die. They live forever, so they don't mind waiting 20 years for that child to grow up. Luke chapter 20, verse 36. You should understand, I'm speaking of this. The reason I talk about this is because I don't want Satan to take advantage of you, because we're not ignorant of his devices. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Ephesians 6:11. I used to explain this to every Christian parent who adopted a child and to every non-Christian parent who adopted a child. I encouraged them to claim their child in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I prayed over them and asked God to protect them and claim them for the kingdom of God. I remember one child. I don't want to get too specific, but this was a good friend of mine. I was visiting. They had a 3-week-old baby. They could not get, the mother was the only one could hold the child. The father would try to hold her, the child would kick back and scream, and she would scream, and she would scream, and she controlled that household. By 3 weeks of age, she controlled that household by her screaming. And she would scream and scream and scream and scream, and nobody called. They couldn't go out to eat. They couldn't do anything. And they just said, "Don't know what's wrong with the baby." I looked at her and I said, "Well?" And said, "Well, we're going to get ready to go to church. We will go to church. There's a lady in the nursery who understands, and she will hold her while we go to church and take communion, and then we leave immediately and come out and get her." And so we went to this church. The mother was a spirit-filled Christian. The father was also spirit-filled, but the mother had a little more insight into the demonic than the father. We were sitting in the pew, left that child screaming in the nursery, and I punched his mother, and I said, "Let's pray and bind that perverse spirit in your child." And so we prayed and claimed that child in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and began to pray. And after about 5 minutes, I got a release in my spirit. I said, "Well, she's okay." And I looked at my watch, and it was 9:15. And so in about 30 minutes, the service was over, and we went back down to the nursery, and 30 minutes, maybe an hour. And we'd pick up the baby and said, "Oh, she's asleep." I said, and her mother said, "Asleep?" I said, "What time did she go to sleep?" She said, "Well, I looked at it, it was so unusual, like the clock, it was 9:15. I said, "Okay, put her in the carrier and let's go out to eat." My father said, "Go out to eat?" I said, "Go out to eat. We're going to the restaurant." Went to the restaurant. Child woke up in the restaurant, looked around and just smiled. We ate. Child went home. We prayed over. And so I talked to the mother and the father before I left. And I told them to claim the child in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and continue to bind that perverse spirit. And I broke all the curses and the sins of the fathers and everything I could think of. And I saw the mother about a year later, and I said, "How you doing?" She said, "Doing fine. How's the baby?" "Doing fine, doing fine. You still pray over me?" She said, "You still pray over me?" "Well, yes." I said, "What are you praying?" "Just what you told me to." I said, "How long are you going to do it?" She says, "As long as there's breath in my body, I don't ever want that thing back in my child." We found out that the grandmother had had an abortion. There's a curse came down through the family line. Okay. And so those are the next curse is the whoredom curse. And it is listed in Hosea. Yeah. The way we're going, I ain't gonna get. That's an hour behind. You hadn't set it up. I tried, but I couldn't get it to move, so I left it for you. Hosea 4:11. Whoredom wine and new wine enslave the heart. Now, if you start with verse 16 and it runs through verse 13, 14, it says people who do not understand will be trampled. Whoredom wine and new wine take away the heart. That's the soul. And it talks about enslavement and it says because you are idolatrous, because you work in the occult, because you offer sacrifice to idols, your daughters are going to be a whore. And your wives are going to commit adultery. And so, that's sexual sin. If you go back and you look at the meaning of the word whoredom, it means idolatry, and it means sexual sin. And it You start with the beer commercial with that simply clad young lady holding the Coors Light and says, boys, if you drink Coors Light, you're gonna be attracted to me. Insinuating that you get something besides the Coors Light. And go all the way down to the grossest thing you can think of and Hustler and all that other that I've never looked at, thank God. But on the internet. That is what that word means. All types of sexual sin. And so in that curse of whoredom, you will have all types of sexual sin. You'll have incest, you'll have fornication, you'll have homosexuality, you'll have dysfunctional sex, that's frigidity, anorenia, impotence. I mean, all types of sexual inability. You'll have homosexuality, lesbianism, you'll have transvestites, you'll have flashers, you'll have peeping toms. All of those things come under the curse of whoredom. And one family I work with, the father is a transvestite. He sees nothing wrong with putting on women's clothes and going down to the bar and dressing up and acting like a woman. It's shocking. He likes to shock on people, and he gets some sort of thrill out of it, but he can't stop. He's tried. He can't stop. And he wonders, and one of his sons, is homosexual. Another one of his sons is in frank rebellion, and both he and his wife are alcoholics. You notice all of these things are in that whoredom curse. That saying which says wine, it means intoxication. And that includes all types of drugs. And so the whoredom curse comes down from idolatry. Now, if you've been in any kind of, your family's been in any kind of secret society, if your family's been into the occult, if your family's been into any type of idolatry, any kind of false religion, any kind of cult, you come under the whoredom curse, and it takes away the soul. Therefore, it causes you to have all kind of learning disabilities. And you need to go back when you're dealing with the idolatry and the learning disabilities and homosexuals and the people who have sexual sin. You got to go back and get this root. You not only got to get the rebellion out, the pride out, rejection out, you got to go after this root of the whoredom curse. You start at the top and go down. And sometimes there's more than one curse. And you keep, and this is what, lots of times you can find this in the back of my rejection book. I've got 10 pages of history that I give people to fill out. And then when you pray for folks, they're coming in for prayer, duplicate those things. And hand them to them and say, fill these out and come back and see me in a week. Bring these filled out. You won't see half of them. But you know, they ain't desperate. I mean, you gotta be desperate if you want deliverance. You gotta desperately want to be free. I mean, you want the easy way out. It's not deliverance. Those are people who come down here and come back and say, well, you didn't work. Ain't nothing to it. They weren't willing to pay the price. You find out how desperate folks are when you give them a little work to do. As long as they want to sit their chair and let you do all the work and spoon feed it into them, they sit there and do that, and then they say, I don't work. I tried that. Praise God. And so you got idolatry, worshiping other gods, including self. Stubbornness is idolatry. You're going to just be stubborn. I want to do it my way. My way or no way. It's my way or the highway. How many times is one family member told the other, you're going to do it my way, it's a highway, get out of here. That's stubbornness, that's idolatry. Okay. Praise the Lord Jesus. Witchcraft, sorcery, and the occult come in from the curse of the whoredom. I was a great-great-great-grandson of an Indian shaman, Choctaw Indian. Sold my soul to the devil for his power. Learned it through word of knowledge. Prophet of God stood before me, picked me out of a crowd, not quite this large, and told me that. I knew I had Indian blood, but I wasn't even sure which tribe. I went back and checked it, and it was absolutely true. And he asked me if I wanted to be free, and I said, yeah. And I tell you, I don't remember. I don't know what happened. They told me all kind of things happened, but I didn't remember too much about it. Everybody in the room was impressed. And when I went to work the next day, three of the nurses on the ward stopped me. Said, Doc, no, what happened to you? I said, what do you mean? You're not the same person. I said, you're different. I said, you know, the last 2 days, you've just been different. You're not the same person. What do you mean I'm different? I said, well, we're not scared of you anymore. Scared of me? I said, man, I tell you, we can cross you. I said, boy, you had a tongue cut us to pieces. I said, you know, you're a real sweet person now. I said, well, I had the devil cast out of me. He said, we believe that. Now, when you get that kind of witness, it means something happened. Praise you, Lord God. Sometimes with the occult, it will skip a generation. All these curses sometimes will skip generations. The demons will manifest one way in one person and one in another, and sometimes it will skip a generation, and not everybody in the family will manifest the same way. But you see, it's got a multitude. My brother had a lot of problems. He didn't have a problem with the occult, but he had other problems from his curse that I won't go into. My sister had problems. My younger brother had problems, all from his curse. All of them were different. They were different manifestations. They were different familiar spirits that had been assigned because of that curse that manifested in their lives. Lord, I don't think we're going to get out of the sins of the fathers, man. Praise your Lord. There's a curse for returning good, returning evil for good. It's listed in Psalm 109. When we read that psalm, I would suggest to all of you that you go read it, because the witches call it the perfect curse. When they want to curse somebody, they get the Bible out and read the curse portion of Psalm 109. They set up their altar with their candles and so forth, and they get their Bible out, and they start reading Psalm 109, verse 6, and they read down to verse 18, verse 19. That covers everything. It's a poverty curse. It's a vagabond curse. It's a sickness curse. Terrible things in it. It's what's called an imprecatory prayer. David prayed that. And folks say, well, David prayed, we prayed. No. God says you don't curse in the New Testament. God says you don't do that. He removes your ability to do that. David did that speaking in the Spirit. God will not let you do that in the Spirit. I used to do that, and he convicted me that that was wrong. Now, there are two spirits. When you speak those words out, if it's not the Holy Spirit, the devil can take those words, and it can become his proclamation. Because you're speaking it in self, and it becomes a proclamation of the enemy. And you want to do his work? That's sort of like a pointing out your neighbor's flaws. Gonna pray for Johnny over there. Oh Lord, he's so mean, he's so ornery, he's so sarcastic, he's so nice, he's so nasty, and he does this and he does that and he does the other, and I just say, Lord, I just want you to help him. Now that is what you're doing is you're doing the devil's work. You're accusing your neighbor before God. Now the devil stands before God and accuses him. When you stand there, you're doing the enemy's work. And I've heard some people say that is the way the devil accuses people, having you do it. Which is an interesting concept. Because they say the devil does not have access to the throne room, therefore he must use believers to do his dirty work. Well, I think he uses believers, but the Bible says that he came before God with the sons of God in Job. And he says he changed himself into an angel of light. And Revelation says he stands and accuses the brethren day and night. But that is a theological point, and I don't think it's worthy of in-depth arguing. But don't do the enemy's work accusing your neighbor. What you do is you find every good thing that you can think about your neighbor, and you bless him for it. You got to have one or two good points, and you thank God for those. And if you got a father or a mother who have let you down and hadn't done right, then you think of all the good things they've ever done and you thank God for them. And you ask God to bless them. That is, only if you want God's blessing on you, that it'll go well with you, that you'll live a long time. That's the first commandment with a promise, that you will honor your father and your mother, that things will go well with you, and that you will live a long time in the land the Lord thy God has given thee. Now that's pretty straightforward, folks. You don't point out your parents' bad thing. Point. The devil's already doing that for you. Well, we're getting away from the roots of rejection, but those are things, now, Jerry has an excellent tape on speaking, on the results of speaking evil of your parents. And I'd suggest that you read it. I mean, she does an in-depth study. And the things that come about as the, because of speaking evil about your parents. And don't cloak it in prayer. It's still evil. Just remember, folks, pray to Buddha. And pray to all kind of things. And so don't cloak it saying, I'm praying. Because God has not instructed you to do that. He's instructed you to bless your parents, to honor them. And to bless, don't curse your neighbor and your enemy. Okay. So returning evil for good. And you can see all the horrible things that happen to people who do that. They can't hold a job. Somebody else profits from their work. And then we talk about abortion. Having the curse of having an abortion. Now, I won't go into that. Carla has an excellent tape on the curse of abortion back there. And all the symptoms it can cause. And you gotta go back and get that curse out. But what if you don't know about it? Then you ask God to show you. And some things, I break all these curses on people. Everything I can think of when I start breaking curses. But God had, well, the other abandonment is the unwanted pregnancy. You can get somebody who's gotten pregnant and they don't want the baby. They're disappointed. It's a bad time. Birth control failed or they just got flat careless. But they're pregnant. And you know, pregnancy is not a state of mind. It will bear something in 9 months. Fruit will come forth in 9 months. And, you know, they can... The young lady can just get very upset, and she can just say she don't want this baby. I don't want this baby. She says, I don't want you. Hey, you burning my life. That's curse of abortion. Rejection. Maybe you might even think about having an abortion and go talk to people about it. You might go to the abortionist and he, botches the job. Maybe you were raped. Maybe it's the wrong time, no money, no insurance, not convenient, not married. If abortion is considered and voiced, if the pregnancy is rejected, or if you counsel someone, it's the same as doing it. Then you can have perceived abandonment. What do I do with my little pointer? Praise you, Lord God. Well, now, I had a little red pointer up here, but I don't know where it went to. Here it is. Here it is. And so you can have perceived the abandonment. And there you got neglect. They just saw no discipline, no protection. You may be the runt of the litter and nobody wants you. You're the scapegoat. Maybe crises, alcoholism, mental illness, instability, financial misappropriation, situations just not convinced. Situational abandonment, crises, sickness, separation, divorce, parental overcommitment, poverty, need to work, single mother, job type, sailors, soldiers, truck drivers, salesmen. All these things are situational. And generally people who have a curse of rejection in their family will choose a job which separates them from their children. Now, sometimes you can get in a situation that's on job you can find. But then there are things that you can do. But those are all facts of life for our country today. And so you need to look at that. And then there's the deliberate abandonment. We've already talked about that. Leaving the child someplace. Adopting out the child and so forth. And I think sometimes you have situational abandonment like family dysfunction, drugs, employment, career choice, you know. And then you got abuse in the family. Well, where's abuse? There's abuse. Sibling torment. You may have one child who's sociopathic. who's got a lot of problems, he's sociopathic, and he's just mean, and he wants his way, and he will abuse one of the younger children. It's very common in large families for one child to get abused, particularly if they got a curse or whore a minute. Sometimes the boys will use this one as the, will sexually abuse him. An older brother will abuse a sister. Same way. Religious extreme legalism. That's a little bitty root on this, and it ought to be a lot bigger. If you are raised in a family where the father is harsh, overly stern, harsh, demanding, unforgiving. You have parents who are harsh, demanding, unforgiving, use the Bible to beat the kid over the head with it. You see, a child's image of God the Father is the natural father. And if their natural father is that way, then they perceive God is that way. And if they happen to be raised in a church that extremely legalism, now you can get that in any denomination almost. Some of them are worse than others. Chris Simpson said on tape that he thought he knew legalism. He was raised Roman Catholic, and he said he thought he knew legalism. He married his wife, who was raised Assembly of God, and he said the legalism his wife was raised under just put his to shame. I have some cousins who were raised hard shell Baptists, and their legalism is just unbelievable. I was raised Episcopalian. I was raised Evangelical Episcopalian. Our legalism was somewhat severe. You know, I compare. My idea of God was like the high school principal. You know, he had an office at the far end of the school down there, and he was a stern man. He had been a football player, and when the one thing you didn't want to do was be sent down to Mr. Johnson's office. His name was Bully. His nickname was Bully. Bully Johnson. The one thing you don't want to do is to be sent down to his office, because he had this long board down there with a handle on the end. And he got you down there, and he'd leave the door open, and he would give you about four swats that you could hear all over the building. And he had a girl that was unfortunate enough to be sent down there. He had a lady teacher who was sort of masculine who would come down and apply punishment. Now, the one thing, I didn't even want him to know my name. I sure didn't want to meet him. I didn't want to get sent to the office. And unfortunately, if you have a father that's harsh like that, then you think you don't want to know God. You don't want to meet God because you know what he's like. And those people grow up in harsh legalism. And a spirit known as celibacy comes. Celibacy. It's a Jezebel spirit. And it causes lots of problems. And it is many roots and it takes a while. Harsh legalism is a bad type of abuse. And they're doing it in the name of Jesus. Now I remember the movie that said, do it in the name of Jesus and you can justify any evil. Do you know that over in Croatia in the Balkans, they were all fighting each other in the name of Jesus? And everybody was convinced Jesus was on their side. World War I, they all believed. It was a religious war. All believed they were doing it in Jesus' name and God was on their side. The coal that the Kaiser sent out for the troops to burn in the trenches had impressed on it, God, punish England. Punish France. And of course, the English was convinced that God was on their side. And I have a letter given my uncle when he arrived over there from King George. And it said, welcome to the fight. The war to end all wars. The war, welcome to the fight. God is with us. God was so far from that mess, God knows. It was all pride. Read the Guns of August sometimes, and you'll see how man's pride led us into the mess, biggest mess you've ever seen. Extreme legalism, physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, verbal abuse. Verbal abuses are curses spoken in anger, word curses, You rot, you stupid, you won't ever learn, won't you ever know? Those are the roots that come into the family. I really haven't touched much on abuse. I could talk at least this long on abuse, but I think it's time to quit talking and start praying. People, I think you need to study about the roots of rejection. Look at the fruit. By the fruits you shall know them, and you trace it back to the root, and you go after the root. You lop off the little limbs, you lop off the big trunk, and you try to get that root out of there so that Johnson grass or ragweed or whatever kind of weed it is won't come back in the name of Jesus. And you cultivate that soil and put the Holy Spirit in it. And you cover it with love. Put some mulch on it so it won't come back. Cover it with mulch of love, Jesus Christ. Praise you, Lord Jesus. So let's stand up and stretch a little bit. You know, it's said that that the brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure. And after all the blood is settled down into your legs and your feet, there's not much going to your brain anymore. And we need to jump down, up and down a little bit and praise God and lift up your hands and praise God. Hallelujah, and get that blood circulating, because we want to get the demons out in the name of Jesus. And we thank you and we praise you and bless you and we glorify you, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. Now the first thing we're going to do is I'm going to lead you in a confession. Confession of the gospel. Because Jesus Christ honors the gospel. We're going to lead you in a confession of the gospel. Then we're going to break the curses that have come down through the family line. And then we're going to bind those spirits, and we're going to command them to leave. And then we're going to go after rejection and some other things. Okay? Now, those of you who've never been in a mass deliverance service, when we start to pray, I want you to sit down and keep both feet on the floor. Why? You remember when you were little kids, you crossed your fingers like this. It meant you didn't have to tell the truth. Remember that? That's a witchcraft symbol saying you don't have to tell the truth. Now, when you cross you say, well, you ain't got my fingers crossed, but I had my toes crossed, had my legs crossed, had my arms crossed. And the devil, being a legalist, is saying, well, he's looking at you, and you're saying, come out in the name of Jesus. He said, we got our legs crossed. You don't really mean that. And he gets to stay. He don't want to come out. And so he'll use any excuse to stay in you. And so you keep both feet on the floor. And then you concentrate on what I'm saying and agree in your mind. You do not pray in tongues. You do not pray and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Because the demons will not come out while you're praying in tongues. They will not come out. You see, there are two fountains in you. And remember, out of the fountain, the salt water and the pure water cannot flow at the same time. And so you want to receive. You want to receive deliverance and let them come out. It'll be time to praise Jesus when they're out. So you come against them in your mind and say, and push. It's like having a baby. You got to push that booger out by your will. Set your will against him. And don't be stubborn. I have some folks say, well, I'm going to pray in tongues because I want to. Okay, you be stubborn and rebellious and keep your demons. If you feel a manifestation, I'm not inviting manifestations, I don't invite those, but if something happens, let it happen. You're worried about your dignity? You can get your dignity back, let your demons go. If you gotta choose between your dignity and your demons, let your demons go. You can get your dignity back. Besides, you away from home, they know none of your home folks ain't watching you. They won't know anything about it. All they know is they know you got rid of it. Something's happened to you. You better. You don't have to tell them that you water on the floor and vomited all over yourself. That's what happened to me. Right there in that third row, right there. I threw up and then wallered in it. And I got the guy, thought I was getting up. About that time they called, I don't know. He had my list up him. And I vomited again. And his brother came over and he stood away and he put his hand out like this to pray for me because I was covered with vomit. One day I was praying for a young lady back there, and she vomited all over me. I mean, I was holding on to her, and she vomited. I was covered with vomit from one end to the other, and so was she. But you know something? She got free. I was able to go change my clothes and take a shower. I went down to shower with my clothes on and washed all the vomit off. I said, if it had been winter time, I'd have had them hose me out outside, but it was winter time. I tell you, don't worry about the manifestation. Let them go. Brother Glenn here, he knows how to handle them. Praise your Lord Jesus. I said, dear Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God. He was manifested in the flesh. He was crucified. Shed his blood for my sin. He died. He rose from the dead on the third day. Ascended into heaven for my justification. He sits on the right hand of the Father, ever to make intercession for me. God is my Father. Jesus Christ is my big brother. I am a child of the living God. I am not a rejected child. I have been accepted in the Beloved. According to the riches of His grace. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I break. I confess the sins of my ancestors. I confess the sin of whoredom, of illegitimacy, of incest, of returning evil for good, of alcoholism, of gluttony, rebellion, idolatry, witchcraft, the occult, lying, stealing, and any other sins. In the name of Jesus, I break these curses. For it is written in Galatians 3:13, Jesus was made a curse for me that I might be delivered from the curse of the law. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. Now I bind the spirits of whoredom, incest, illegitimacy, witchcraft, the occult, lying, stealing, perverseness, vagabond, and all other spirits. I command them to leave me now. I bind them and cast them out. For it is written in Joel 2:32, anyone calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Leave me now in the name of Jesus. Go. Everybody take a deep breath now. Let them go. Come on out of them. Don't tear them. Just let them go. Let them go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. Let them go. Come out. All you loose spirits, we just bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We break your power, all you curses. We break your power in the name of Jesus. All you familiar spirits, we bind you and we break your power. Turn them loose. All you harassing spirits, come out. All you tormenting spirits, come out. Spirits of harassment, torment, fear. Fear has torment. I speak the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. Rejection and fear, come out. All fear in the name of Jesus. Y'all can sit down. In the name of Jesus Christ, I come against fear. In Jesus' mighty name, I break its power. Fear, I speak to you, fear. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. The love of God does drive you out. You come out. Come out of God's people. In the name of Jesus, you've got no right anymore. God did not give them a spirit of bondage again to fear, but He gave them a spirit of adoption whereby they cry, Abba, Father, in the name of Jesus. Come out. All you spirits of fear, tormenting fear, come out. Fantasy fear, come out. Turning to the world for love, come out. Being denied love, come out in the name of Jesus. I've been denied love. Nobody loves me, spirits. Come out. Nobody loves you. Come out. Come out. All you unlovable spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. I bind you. I break the power of the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, returning to the world for love. Lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Come out. Come on out. All you spirits, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I break your power. I break the spirits of anorexia in the name of Jesus, and bulimia. Come out. Thin spirits, fat spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. Hair-changing spirits, come out. Come on out. Come out in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your power in the name of Jesus. All self-pity spirits, all spirits of feeling sorry for yourself, come out. Come out. All the spirits of self-pity, I break your power. Self-pity spirits, pull me spirits, pull me. Pull me. Come out. All you pull me spirits. Oh, somebody help me. Self-hatred spirits. Self-mutilating spirits. Come out. Spirits that would mutilate in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your power. Mutilation spirits. Self-destructive spirits. Come out. Alcoholic spirits. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Turn them loose. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. Come out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn Sherry loose in Jesus' name. Turn her loose! Come out of there! Come out, you foul devil! I bind you! I see you! In the name of Jesus, I bind you and I break your power! Come out! Come out! In Jesus' name! All spirits of torment, unreasonable fears, fear of the dark, fear of water, fear of sex, fear of men, fear of women, come out! Come out! Fear of men, come out! Come out! In the name of Jesus, spirits of anorexia, anorexia, come out in the name of Jesus, anorexia, come out. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power over these people. You can't have them. I bind you and I break your power and I command you to go in Jesus' name. Go, go, go. I speak to the spirits of frigidity. Come out in the name of Jesus. Sexual dysfunction, frigidity, premature ejaculation, impotence, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, ED. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ and command you to go. Come out of them. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and I break your prayer. Fear. Fear of not being good enough. Come out. Fear of being wrong. Come out. Fear of breaking the rules. Come out. Come out. Celibacy. I bind you. Come out. Perfectionism. I bind you, perfectionism. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. I gotta do it right. If I do it right, nobody can complain. Come out. I bind the perfection spirit, spirits of perfection. Come out. Bind the picky spirit, this picky spirit. Come out. The nitpicking spirit. Come out. All the nitpicking spirits. Come out. Come out. All the fault-finding, nitpicking spirits. I bind you. Come out, you perfectionistic devils. Come out. Intolerant. Come out. Intolerant spirits. Come out. Fault-finding spirits. Anger, rage, frustration. Come out. All the spirits of anger, rage, frustration, nitpicking, I bind you all and I command you to leave God's people. Come out of there. Come out. All you fear spirits. Come out. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. I bind you. Nightmares. I speak to the spirits of nightmares now in the name of Jesus Christ. Tormenting nightmares in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your power. Come out. Spirits of depression and heaviness, come out. God didn't give them a spirit of heaviness, but He gave them a spirit. He gave them a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Come out, ugly spirits. Ugly spirits. Come out. Spirit of being ugly. Ugly. Ugly, I'm speaking to you. Come out of there, ugly spirits. In the name of Jesus. All the ugly spirits, come out. In the name of Jesus. Spirits that tell these young ladies they're ugly. Bind them in the name of Jesus. Ugly spirits. Come out in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Turn them loose. Come against pride now. Spirit of pride and rebellion. Spirit of pride and rebellion. A proud and a haughty man, scorner is his name. Scoffer is his name. Pride. I speak to pride, to the haughty scoffer in the name of Jesus Christ. The haughty scoffer that will not learn. The haughty scoffer that won't listen. The haughty scoffer that will not believe Scripture. The haughty scoffer. Proud. Come out, you proud devil. I bind you, you stiff-necked devil that will not learn. In Jesus' name, that will not hear. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I bind the rebellion spirit.
They in their pride, they act proudly, and in their stubbornness they rebelled and elected a leader to go back to bondage. Come out of there. Come out, you spirits that would lead them into bondage. In the name of Jesus Christ, you proud, stubborn spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power in Jesus' name. Command you to come out. Come out. I speak to the religious spirits. I speak to the spirits of Jezebel now, all the Antichrist demons, all the spirits of the cults that came in, all the spirits of Mormonism, all the spirits of legalism, all the spirits of Gnosticism, all the spirits of the cult, all the spirits, come out! All the spirits of Celebi, all the spirits of Tinkai, all the spirits of Astria, all the spirits of Diana, come out in the name of Jesus Christ, all you Jezebel spirits. I speak to Jezebel. Jezebel, where is your kingdom? I bind you and I break your power, Jezebel. I command you to go. I come against the perverse spirits. Come out, you perverse devils. Turn them loose. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. I command you to go. To go in Jesus' name. Go. Don't you tear these people. You just come out of them now in the name of Jesus Christ. Just come out. Come out. Come out. Let them go. Let them go. All of you. All of you. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. In the name of Jesus. Word of God says you shall expel demons. Push them out. In the name of Jesus Christ. Push them out. In the name of Jesus. Be gone in Jesus' name. All of you. Go. 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 In Jesus' name. I come against Jezebel now. I come against idolatry and whoredom. Spirit of whoredom, I bind you and I break your power. Command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak healing to God's people in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, I come against the spirits now of rebellion and stubbornness, gluttony and alcoholism. Come on out. Deuteronomy says, our son is stubborn and rebellious. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Come out, all the spirits of gluttony now, the god of the belly. Come out. I come speak to the god of the belly, to the glutton spirit. Come out. Glutton. Come out. God of the belly spirit. Alcoholism. Come out. Dope. I speak to cocaine, marijuana, LSD, and all the other dope. And I command them to come out. All the alcohol. Alcohol is a rage. Wine is a mocker. Alcohol is a rage. You mocking spirits, I bind you. You mocking devils, come out in the name of Jesus. You raging devils, come out. I break your power. You leave God's people. Come out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power and I command you to leave. You leave God's people. Leave in the name of Jesus. Leave in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your power. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I bind you. Lord Jesus, you bore all of our infirmities and all our sickness. And by your stripes, we have been healed. You hear that, you infirmity spirits? By the stripes of Jesus, these people have been healed. By the stripes of Jesus. Come out, all alcoholism now. I speak to the spirits of hay fever, allergies and hay fever. I bind the infirmity spirits of allergy and hay fever and congestion and food allergies and asthma. Come out in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your power. And I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of tinnitus, ear infections, holes in the ears, ringing in the ears, dizziness. Come out. Deafness. I speak to the deaf spirit. And I say leave in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. Come out. I speak to congestion in the nose. The sinuses, I bind you and command you to leave. Come out. I speak to tongue disorders. I speak to glossitis, gingivitis. Come out. Pyrrhea. Come out. I speak to pyrrhea. I speak to cavernous teeth, root canals. I bind you and command you to go. I speak healing to people's teeth. God, fill their teeth and put caps on them or whatever you want to do with them, Lord, but heal them. Heal them, Lord. So they'll know you've been there. in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to their teeth, the root canal, in the name of Jesus. I speak restoration to the gums, to pyrrhea. I say be healed in the name of Jesus. I speak to thyroiditis. I bind it in Jesus' name. Command to be gone. Low thyroid, high thyroid, I bind you. Thyroid, I say function in the name of Jesus. Cancer of the thyroid, I bind you and command you to go. In the name of Jesus, go, go. Speak to sore throats, go. Sore throats, trouble swallowing, dysphagia, go. In the name of Jesus Christ, go. I speak to bronchitis, bronchiolitis, emphysema, asthma. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Pneumonia, pyrrhea, empyema, come out! I bind all of you. Lung damage, lung scars. In the name of Jesus Christ, go! 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 I speak to heart failure. I bind heart failure. It says fear in the latter days shall cause the heart to fail. I bind fear of heart failure in the name of Jesus. The hearts, I say, line up with the Word of God. Line up with the Word of God. Be healed. Heart failure in the name of Jesus. I speak to heart attacks in the name of Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' name. I speak to strokes in the name of Jesus. I say be healed, strokes. Strokes, be healed in the name of Jesus. Come out. I speak to the stomachs. I speak to gastroesophageal reflux. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to hyperacidity. Go in Jesus' name. Hyperacidity, go. Duodenal ulcers. In the name of Jesus, cholelithiasis, go. Gallbladder problems, go. Gallstones, go. Diabetes, go. Pancreatitis, I bind you, go. In the name of Jesus, all of you, get out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak healing to these people. Healing. In the name of Jesus, I speak to Crohn's disease. Crohn's disease, I bind Crohn's disease. Colitis, in the name of Jesus. Cystitis, colitis, vaginitis, urethitis, uterusitis, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Prostatitis, come out, urethitis, I bind you all. I bind the human papillomavirus, go, go, human papillomavirus. Bind chlamydia, go. I speak to herpes, herpes, I bind you. You leave God's people now, go. Herpes, go, herpes simplex. Go! Herpes! Chickenpox herpes! Go! Hepatitis herpes! Go! In the name of Jesus, all you herpes viruses, get out of God's people! In the name of Jesus, I bind you and I command you to go! Hepatitis, go! I bind you in Jesus' name! Myositis, go! Muscle pain, go! I speak to all the serpentine spirits that cause muscle pain in the back, backaches. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Cause bladder problems. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Leg problems. Come out. Come out. Peripheral neuritis. I bind you all. Fibromyalgia. I bind you and I break your power of fibromyalgia. You leave God's people now in the name of Jesus. Come out of them. Fibromyalgia. Come out. Diabetes. Complications of diabetes. Peripheral neuritis. Come out. I speak to intermittent claudication. I speak to stopped up arteries. And I bind you. Arteries, I say, open up. High blood pressure. I break your power. Come out of that high blood pressure. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing to God's people. Arthritis. I speak to arthritis. Arthritis, come out of people. I bind you, arthritis. I command you to go. Root of bitterness, I pull you out. I pull out the root of bitterness. I break the power root of bitterness. I command it to go in the name of Jesus Christ. I break that power. In Jesus' mighty name, turn God's people loose. Turn them loose. All you diseases, come out of them in the name of Jesus Christ. Eczema, come out of them. Eczema, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Psoriasis, go in the name of Jesus. Eczema, go. Skin allergies, go. Skin cancer, go. In the name of Jesus, I bind you all. I command you to leave God's people. Come out of her. Come out of her in the name of Jesus. I break your power and command you to go. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. You turn her loose in the name of Jesus. Turn her loose in the name of Jesus. Come out of there in the name of Jesus. Come out of there. Come out. 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 Sarah. 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 Come out. Oh God, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. Lord, touch your people. Touch your people now, Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody got any disease I didn't call out? Cancer! I call out cancer. All kind of cancer, come out! You foul demon of cancer, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all the diseases, all the cancers in the name of Jesus. Cancer of the blood, cancer of the organs, cancer of the skin, cancer of the bone, cancer of the muscle, all cancers. Cancer of the thyroid, cancer of the breast, cancer of the uterus, cancer of the cervix. I bind you and I command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak healing to God's people in the name of Jesus. Cancer of the ovaries, come out, come out. Cancer of the prostate, come out. All cancers, I bind you and I break your power and command you to leave. In Jesus' name, I come against the spirit of martial arts. Martial arts! I bind the spirits of martial arts now in the name of Jesus. The Antichrist spirits of martial arts. I bind them and I break their power. All you Kundalini spirits of martial arts, I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' mighty name. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and I break your power. Command you to leave God's people. Now, in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of Freemasonry in the name of Jesus Christ and all other secret organizations in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I'll stand now. Lord, fill them. Fill them, Lord God.